Father, we thank you for another day in which to learn of you, to study your word, to be led by your spirit. Lord, there's a lot of things that go on in our lives that you do. We're not always aware of how intricate you work, Lord. You supply to us, though, regularly on a multifaceted basis, Lord. Now we pray, help us today, Lord, to receive all that you have for us and to have hearts that are prepared, Lord. The key to it is a prepared heart, Lord, that your word might be able to find place within us, might be able to rest within us and dwell there and grow, Lord. We want to plant seeds, the seeds of truth, the seeds of your word, the seeds of your being in each of our hearts, Lord, that it might grow up and produce fruitfulness, Lord, of your character, your image, your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to look at three things. It looks like more than three up here because I got survival and security as one issue, okay? It's two different ways of saying the same thing. But it depends on your culture. If your culture happens to be more primitive, then you're more concerned about survival than you are security. But it's basically the same issue, okay? And if you're affluent like ours, you're more concerned about security than you are survival. None of us are really worried about survival. I can tell by looking at all of us, we're relatively healthy, and so that's not a problem. Survival is not an issue. But if we lived in the jungles of Ecuador, we might be worried about just surviving. What are we going to eat this afternoon would be the key issue that you and I would be discussing right now, okay? Because the key issue in that thing is survival. There's no grocery store, and there's no preserving what you had for this morning. You can smoke a few things maybe, you know what I'm saying? There's no way to preserve the food, so you have to keep getting food every day. Yeah, and so that becomes survival, okay? But even in a primitive environment like the jungles of the Amazon, besides worrying about survival, they're concerned about what they worship. They're familiar with spirits. They're in some senses, they're far more attuned to the spirit realm than we are, and so they have the sense of the spirit and the spirit realm, and they also have traditions that they hand down that gives them some sense of worship. Where they get their joy and their fulfillment. And then everyone wants to have a sense of achievement, even in primitive cultures. If you're a headhunter, you want to have more shrunken heads inside your hut than anybody else, okay? That's a sense of achievement. If it's having wives, then you want to have more wives than somebody else. If it's getting camels, then you want to have more camels than anybody else. Okay, everybody has this. These are basic things that that men seek for. And the question that I have for this is, who or what is your God? The reason why is because you're going to look to your God for these things. And whoever you look to for those things is your God. If it's you, if you're counting on yourself to give you your wits and you're figuring things out in life, then in a sense you've become your own God. Okay? You're dependent on your own wits. You can survive. You can make it. And especially in America. Well, in any culture. Let's go back to the Amazon. Okay? They survive by the strength of their arm, being able to make and throw more spears than the guy next to them, or shoot more poison darts, or he's a better shot with the bow and arrow. Okay? Right? He has become, in a sense, his own God. We look to something to give us security or survival, to keep us alive. Either we look to a deity to do this for us, or we just look to ourselves, or we look to a king, or we look to some of us here in the United States, we look to a thing. Okay? Most of the people in the United States figure that they can be happy and fulfilled and can say they have accomplished a lot if they accrue a lot of money. Okay? So money has become their God. Because if they have a lot of money, then they figure they're not worried about survival anymore. They got security. Okay? They have something that they give their attention to, something they give their devotion to, something that's constantly on their mind and in their thoughts, and something they're always striving to achieve, okay, their worship. And then they have a sense of accomplishment. They did very well because they have made a lot of money. This is something, by the way, this is not an abnormality. Every normal, if you're not concerned about these things, we may tell ourselves, well, I don't really care about this stuff, but just be deprived for a while and see. Like all the people that lived in New Orleans, if you asked them a year ago in August if they were worried about survival, they'd have scoffed at you. That was not an issue. But come September, they were all very concerned just about survival. And we all watched them in the news as they were, some didn't. Okay, so it's a basic human need. It's not like these things are sin. It's not like this is wrong to have these concerns. This is healthy. We all need to survive. We all want something that fulfills us with joy. And we all want something, we all want to feel like we've accomplished something. That's normal. Okay? How do we go about it is the key. Okay? There's only two ways of getting that. We can either do it on ourselves, by our own strength, our own intelligence, our own wits, or we can use other people. That's common. Kings don't usually gain wealth themselves. Have you ever noticed that? Bosses do the same thing. The boss gets all the money and you do all the work. That's the way life is. You say, that's not fair. It's been that way for who knows how long, ever since Nimrod probably. When it says he was a great man in the earth, okay? Nimrod made other people do things for him. When people do that all the time. So you can either do it for yourself or you can get other people to do it for you. It's either by your own wits or you use the wits of someone else. But there's another way of doing this, all right? And this is what we're going for this morning, is to have the Lord do this for us, okay? But this is difficult. To have God do it for us, because you're going to have to trust that God will do it for you. Okay? In the first place, it's hard for many of us to think that God wants to. It has been for me. Why would God care about whether I survive or not? Have you ever thought of that? I mean, why would God care? I mean, we all hear God cares, right? We hear that. But I mean, let's get down to you're living in a lousy situation and it doesn't seem to get any better, and you think to yourself, Why would God care? Why? Everybody says he does, but why would he? You look at your own life, and many of us think of ourselves as flunkies. And so we think, why wouldn't God think the same way? And to think that God sees us differently than we see ourselves is a novel thought. And then to trust that God on the basis that he thinks differently than we can, the whole concept is out of our realm of perception. You follow what I'm saying? I only understand things in the way I perceive. I only understand what I understand the way I understand it. I do not understand things the way you understand them, because I am not you. And the same with God. I do not understand the way God understands things, because I'm not God. And yet, I'm trying to learn how God understands things. So he's got to help me understand how he understands. And what I've got to do is I've got to take my way of understanding a thing and give it up. And let God show me his way, all right? So there's two ways of getting it. My way, his way. One more thing I want to say is that Jesus himself was tested. And we're familiar with this. It's in the scripture in a couple of places. You know, I didn't put that reference down. But we should be able to find it. It's when Jesus was led into the wilderness. So let's look in Luke, because that's pretty easy to find. It's after he was baptized. I think it starts in chapter 4 of Luke. Now, this is something that we don't ordinarily think about. When you think about being filled, I don't know, Isaac, have you ever thought about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, good. Dan, when you think about being filled with the Holy Spirit, what do you think the Holy Spirit does when he fills you up? You haven't really given a lot of thought. I mean, usually we think he gives us great power and suddenly we stand up like Paul, like Peter, and we preach ways we never could preach before. And we're suddenly something that we never have been before in our lives. And just bingo, just like that, it came on us. Right? Isn't that how we kind of think of it? We sure wish it was that way anyway, huh? Well, here's the way it works. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led about by the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's got the Holy Spirit. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He just came up out of the water of baptism, and the Holy Spirit has now filled Jesus' life, and he leads him into the wilderness. But sometimes you think maybe you want to look back and say, did he just say that right? And was led about by the Spirit. So just in case you didn't get the point, it says it right real clearly. Led about by the Spirit in the wilderness. Neat. For 40 days while tempted of the devil. Wow. Now, have you ever thought about that? If you're going to get the fullness of the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you into the wilderness so that the devil can tempt you? Let's preach that one, right? Just what we want. Huh? All of us want power with God. All of us really would like to be waved over by a magic wand. Bong! We're wholly different. We suddenly... marvelous people. We've never really been able to be marvelous before, but now we're marvelous. We've never really been able to be smart before. Now we're smart. We've never really been able to hit the nail on the head. We can hit it every time, right? Bingo! Bam! There it is. The power of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Holy Spirit's for. He leads us into the wilderness. You see, one of the main problems is the reason why we're not the way we, all those things that we'd like to think is because we're simply not who we are or what we think we are. We are the ones who don't know who we are. God does. We don't. And the only way God can ever get around to showing us who we really are is to take us into the wilderness. So to speak, let us fall on our face, so to say. Now, God does not lead us into temptation. And we pray, lead us not into temptation. Right? But the Spirit has led him into the wilderness, and he's being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when it had ended, he became hungry. Okay? That's another thing that I find. When it ended, he became hungry. I'd have been hungry long before 40 days. Okay, so Jesus was eating something all that time because he wasn't hungry till the 40 days were over. And the devil said to him, okay, here you go. Now, here's the devil. He's going to test the Son of God, Jesus, on these three issues. The first thing he tests him on is, what do you think I got on the first one? Survival or security. So what's he going to ask him about? What's it say there, Rexy? Rexy, sorry. Rex. And you're not junior, are you? Could be. We both have different middle names. Go ahead, Rex. I'm down at verse 3.
The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become
bread. Bread! Remember what I said? If you were living in the Amazon, what would your chief concern be about right now? What are you going to eat? Okay? Here's Jesus. He's been in the wilderness. Now, there are no convenience stores in there, okay? Where he is, he's miles away from the closest place. He's been 40 days without food, and he hasn't got the energy to walk out. In other words, if he doesn't eat something, and there's nothing there to eat, he will die. Nice place to be, don't you think? Wouldn't you like the Holy Spirit to take you there? In a real sense, that's where we need the Holy Spirit to take us. Because that's the only place we find out that God really intends for us to survive. It's God's idea for us to survive, not ours. And he really asks us not to worry about it. And we spend our whole lifetime concerning him. When God has said, don't give it any thought. So we got to find out who really is God. The 7-Eleven or God? Well, he put Jesus where there was no 7-Eleven. No Vons, or even an Albertsons. Nothing. Okay? And the devil said, hey, I hear you're the Son of God. I hear you can do miracles. Cool. Why don't you turn the bread? Why don't you turn the stones into bread and you have something to eat? You won't have to die. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Did God tell him to do that? Small problem in there. It sounds reasonable, but the problem is this was not God's idea. And Jesus said, what's the verse say in verse 4? Rex.
Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone.
So 40 days he's surviving and he hadn't been hungry. What was he living on? If we don't live on bread alone, what do we live on? It's a good question, because most of us just live on bread. We run out of bread, we got nothing left to live on. Okay? But God says that man doesn't live on bread alone. What God is trying to say by the fact that he doesn't live on bread alone is that God himself is our security. God himself is our provider. As a matter of fact, one of God's names is Jehovah Jireh. Is a Jireh God, my provider. Okay? He will provide. But you can't find that out until you get to the place where there's no other way to survive. There's no other way to get it, and God supplies it. Okay? Then the next thing, verse 5, what does that say?
The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world.
And
he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to.
Next.
So if you worship me, it will all be yours.
All right, so here he is. He's asking him, who are you going to worship? Who are you going to get? He showed him all the kingdoms of the world, okay? There's a lot of food out there. A lot of dancing girls out there, a lot of great music and entertainment, art, all kinds of cool things that can bring a person joy. Okay? You name it, king's got it. Whatever king wants, he can have. That's the way the kings are. Well, a lot of people wonder about David. Why in the world he took Bathsheba and didn't know he was sinning? Listen, whatever kings want, they can have. That's the right of the king. That's what was in David's mind. He had become a king. What kings want, they can have. Period. That's the way kings are. And if you come in someday, and he doesn't like the way you look, he can say, go wipe that boy out. And that's the end of you. Because that's the way kings are. Okay? Or if you come in one day and he says, you really made me feel good. Half of the United States is yours. Guess what? You own half the United States. Kings can do that. Okay? Kings can do that. And the devil saying to Jesus, there it is, dude. Whatever makes you happy, it's all yours. Now, one of the things that God promised Jesus was all the nations of the earth. Okay? Ask of me and I'll give you all the heathen for your inheritance. This really was Jesus. And the devil had it because it was given to him. Who gave it to him? Who gave the devil all the kingdoms of this world? Do you have any idea, Isaac? Who handed all that over to the devil? No. How about you, Rex? No, God never did. God, when God created man, he said to man, everything I've made is for you to rule, not the devil. Who gave it to him? Adam did. When the devil came in and said, here, this looks good, doesn't it? Make you wise. You really want to be wise, don't you? Oh, I know God said you're not supposed to eat it, but you're not really going to die. When we obeyed the devil, we gave it to him. When Adam said, sure, I'll do what you say. See, to whoever we obey, that's the one we worship. Okay? So it was his. He wasn't lying. Adam gave it to him. Jesus came to get it back. That wasn't the way he was going to get it back. So what did he say? Next verse.
It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
Now, worship and serve. You notice that? It says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You know why it says that? Because there are two ways of saying the same thing. Whoever you serve, you worship. Okay, that's why it says about sin, don't let sin be the master of you. If sin is the master of you, you're worshiping the devil. Okay? If you let sin be master of you, and if you don't want to be mastered by that, then you must master sin so that that way you're not serving the devil. Okay? The way you serve God is to not sin. Okay? So Jesus was tempted this way, and then he's tempted in one more area. What's the next verse say?
The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the... If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. They will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
What did Jesus say?
Jesus answered, it says, do not put the words of God to the test.
Do not put God to the test. Here it is, a great achievement. Here he is standing there on the corner of the temple with all the people down there. Jesus jumps off, comes down, na-da, look at me. I'm the Son of God. Cool, huh? And what did the, and Jesus said what?
Do not put the Lord your God to the test.
Okay, now how many of you ever heard this expression? Let me see if I can say it right. Dare to be a Daniel? Anybody ever heard that expression? Dare to be a Daniel? It's what's known as aggressive faith, where you dare to do something great. Okay? You believe God for all this stuff? Well, do something. Do something with your faith. You never heard it. Well, that's because you've grown up in this church. We don't really advocate that you do this sort of thing. But it's common in a lot of places that since God has said things, then let's show that we can do that by stepping out in faith, okay? Nobody in the Bible ever stepped out in faith. Did you know Peter did not step out of the boat in faith? What did Peter say to Jesus? You don't know because you don't have it open. He said, if you command me, let me come to you. Peter knew enough about Jesus that if Jesus didn't make the commandment, there was nothing to stand on out there. But if Jesus gave the commandment, he could step out of the boat and walk on the water. And when Jesus said, come, when Peter stepped out, what happened? Faith is the substance. He didn't step out on faith. He stepped out on substance. Okay? There was a substance there that water was solid. He didn't step out on faith. He stepped out on the substance of God's word. Come, he said. Okay? You and I step out on faith. If you and I get some idea and we think, this is God, you know, God, but doesn't the Bible say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? Okay, let's go to South America. Know what it says? Let's step out in faith and go down there and believe for God, right? You know what it says? Have I heard specifically for me to go do that? Not necessarily so. But if I just do that, I'm putting God to the test. And the scripture says, don't do that. God will bear us up if...
Let's say test. This is test your calling.
Yeah,
that must mean command comes first, and then you test.
Testing your calling is a different thing than testing God, right, as to whether or not is. Yeah, okay. We're to test our calling. We're to make it sure. We're to prove it.
We're to prove our calling.
You and I have to prove our calling every day, okay? And we prove that through obedience. Actually, the best way to prove God's calling is to give your body as a living sacrifice. That's the way you prove it. It will manifest. And this is an important key, because what we're saying is because we're spiritual, because we're, quote, Christians, we'll take all of this and spiritualize it, Dan, so that the achievement that we're after is a, quote, big ministry or starting a Bible school or something that looks good in the eyes of the world. Go out and minister. Start a church. Be a missionary. You see what I'm saying? Just because we spiritualize it doesn't change this fact. God has got to be the God of these things. And you and I want to have an achievement. And here in a classic example of another way we do it is sometimes God will tell us he's going to give us something. Sometimes God will say, I'm going to give you a ministry. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Was that not God's word? Didn't God say, I'm going to give you a son? But a son wasn't coming. So what did Abraham do? Him and Sarah thought something up. Now, doesn't that seem fine? God needs a little help here. We've tried now for the last 20 years, Lord, and nothing's happened. I got an idea. Maybe Hagar can have the kid and we'll call it mine. Did it work? Oh, yeah, it worked. Hagar had the kid. And they're still fighting today. Right? Oh, it's amazing when you do that. It's amazing when you step out in faith, the things you create that will plague you for your entire lifetime. I'm not into creating things anymore. None of my own stuff, anyway. Okay? The question is, who's your God? You're going to let God do it. All right. Every Christian has to overcome in these areas. All right? We've got to... God has given us the promise. Let's look at Matthew. There's different areas, but I chose to find it all in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, just for the sake of not having to flip around too much. God has promised us survival and security. Matthew 6, 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat. Okay? This is what God says. or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they toil. They do not toil, and they do not spin, and yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, and for your heavenly Father knows. Look at that now. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Now here's something we need to get a hold of. God knows that we need these, all right? When we first came here to California, I was somewhat of an irresponsible fellow, to say the least. And so when God said, move, resign your job and move to California, I did what God told me, okay? I learned enough to be obedient, but I didn't do it in a very responsible way. And kind of because I had an attitude, you know? That's what God wants? Sure, here, in your face, God, I'll do it. But I didn't settle my affairs, you know what I mean? I didn't do what I could have done to make it easier. You can't do that way without reaping what you sow. So by the time we got to California, I had 36 cents in my pocket and a wife and a child and my mother. And not to put God to the test, you know. I don't advise you do that sort of thing. God helped us through, but we paid a price because, believe me, we didn't go much on 36 cents in my pocket. And the 36 cents ran out. Now, God had provision for us. And we managed to stay the entire time. But it was difficult. There was times when we got down to where there was no more food left. Period. None. No money for gas in the car. None. Out of everything. Well, God brought a provision. But I learned some lessons, okay? And that is, you've got to act responsibly when God tells you to do something. Okay? But I also learned that God provides. That God cares. Somewhat. Because even as recently as only a few weeks ago, I was still struggling and having some difficulty. And in prayer, we were praying, and the issue came up. The issue was security. You'd think by now, I mean, I got money in the bank now. I don't own a house, but I do have some money in the bank. But I'm still basically an insecure individual. Okay? And what God wants us to learn is that He knows we need these things. If He takes care of all these other things, will He not take care of us? If we'll do things what God wants and do them in His way, He will take care of us. A good example of that is Mother Basilea in forming the... It's hard reading for guys because I don't know. Maybe some guys don't find it hard reading, but I found reading her stuff because it's very... To me, it comes from a very... feminine? I don't know. It's just different personality. Maybe it's just different personality. I mean, she loved God in such a wonderful way that it was hard for me to relate. Okay, because I love God too, but I love Him, I don't know, more masculine? I don't know if that's legitimate or not. But anyway, they learn how to survive, that God would provide. When God would tell them to do things and they had no way of doing it, God would bring it in. And they learned. One of the things they learned is when they would have gardens. And when there were a lot of bugs and mildew and things like that in the garden, they would recognize there's unfinished problems here among us as a group. And they'd go to prayer and they would find out the thing that they needed to repent of. And when they did, the bugs and the stuff would clear up. Germany, Darmstadt. Okay. Wonderful. But how many of you know, you can read how it works for someone else and it doesn't do anything for you. You've got to learn it on yourself. It helps to encourage us that it happens, and it still happens today. But every one of us have got to come to the place where we come before God and we begin to realize God knows we need these things. God is intensely concerned, but God has an intense desire for us to accomplish. Because God knows that we need security. He knows we need worship and joy. And he also knows that we have a need for accomplishment. And we've got to get it settled in our heart that God knows us and that God is going to bring us to these things. I don't know how you guys are, but a sense of achievement is big for me. Don't you feel that you want to accomplish something worthwhile on the earth while you're alive? Maybe for some people that doesn't really matter. Seems to for me. Okay? And we've got to trust that God, we've got to allow God to do that for us. And again, we've got to be responsible. When we say, allow God to do that for us, we can't be in a passive manner. I can't just sit at home and do nothing and expect that, oh, we'll achieve something. That's not going to happen. Okay? We've got to follow God in a responsible way. But that God has something for us to achieve in life, we've got to come to the place that we really believe that about God. And that's not that easy. And especially when we start and realize that many of us, especially if we grew up poor, then you have a real problem with security. If you grew up in a poor environment, until you get to the place where God... until you get that filled with God. God is satisfied with God. God really has my concern. He's more concerned about my survival than I am. Until that becomes really real to us, you're going to be struggling for survival and you won't recognize it. And when you're doing that, how do you know you're struggling for survival? Because you're agitated about, not so much that you don't have money in the bank, but you're agitated about certain things. You're agitated because you're afraid that you're going to look bad to the boss. And if you look bad to the boss, you might lose your job. And it's not all that clearly defined. You're going to look at the issue. It's a project that I'm on and I'm having a hard time. You're going to look at that project and be concerned. And you're not going to really be able to look past that particular project and recognize the real reason why I'm agitated over this is not because of the project per se, but because I'm insecure. Because if I'm purely secure, then I'm going to realize I'm going to do all right on this project. Whether it fails or doesn't fail.
You better be in God, though.
You better be in God. Precisely. And if we are, then God will cause us to survive. God will. He can cause all things to work together for good. That doesn't mean all positive things. Another thing with joy, We see Paul saying in Philippians, rejoice, and again I tell you, rejoice. Okay? Well, we read that in Philippians and we think, why, Paul, you don't know my lousy circumstances. We don't know Paul's lousy circumstances because he was in prison. And from what I understand, the jail in Philippi had the sewer run through it. They had open sewers in those days. They just had troughs so that what went into the trough flowed downhill. And at the bottom of the hill was the prison. So there's Paul sitting in that saying, rejoice, brethren. This is wonderful. You got to be in God, huh? You better be in God. That's the whole point of this. Is God going to keep us secure? Does God know that we need food, clothes? Does he know? Does he care? Is he going to take care of that? It says he is. Okay? But we have got to go beyond just because it says it. We've got to get it to where it's settled within our being. We believe that this is true. And the only way is for us to go before God and say, God, I'm insecure. I confess that. Now, deliver me from insecurity and fill me with this security. Because reading the words in and of themselves don't change that. You've got to have God work that truth within yourself. But we have to do it. Every Christian, we have got to overcome in these areas. Just like Jesus had to be tempted, you and I are going to be tested in these areas. Okay? And the question is we're going to allow God to be our security, or are we going to allow the money that's in the bank be our security? And we'll be tested on that to find out. There'll come a time where we can choose one or the other. And it'll be just that drastic. Fullness of joy, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, I've told you before, I don't know if you know what that means, to lay up treasures in heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven. What's a treasure to you?
Something worth having.
Something worth having. Something of value. Something... It has become real to me on certain issues, like, for instance, something as commonplace as trout fishing. It could be a treasure. For me, it is. I love clear, pristine streams. And if the stream is really good and clear and healthy, it's going to have, and it's cold. I like, cool enough. It's going to have healthy, it's going to have fish, lots of them, lots of bug life and everything. Okay, well, if you're an environmentalist, you know much about it. Most of our streams are not going in that direction, they're going in the opposite direction. When I first did some trout fishing, we just discovered, so to speak, because we talked to some experts and they didn't even seem to know about this river, and it's right there. And one of the experts we talked to, he said, there's no fishing like this. We're reading books, and he says, there's no fishing like this around here, that's up north. We're in Georgia. And we went to a river, and sure enough, man, the stuff in the book was happening on this particular river. And we were stoked. We thought, this is really cool. Besides that, there were fish in there. And because we were learning a little bit about the environment, we found some big ones. Nobody knew they were in there, but we found they were. Surprisingly enough, some big fish. One we called the stovepipe, because when he'd come up and suck a bug out of the off the top of the water, he'd leave a hole, bloop, like this. It looked like a stovepipe sucking water, okay? So we never did catch stovepipe, but we knew he was there. Okay? And what we found is in the few years that we were there, some of those bug hatches stopped and didn't occur any longer. We couldn't even find the larvae inside the water because they like water so clear that they can't stand any silt, and they began a project in another state in the headwaters, and it was bringing silt down the river. And it wiped out that whole bug population. And that bothered me. It had effect on the fish population, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That bothered me. So ever since then, I've been somewhat of an environmentalist. Okay? Because I saw it. What really got us all excited was fading in the use, so to speak, dying while I watched it. In a few short years, things changed. And that's a treasure for me. I want to restore that river. But I'm laying it up in heaven. I am not going to Georgia and starting a Chattooga River club to raise money to try to purify the river. Okay? I'm not doing it. Will it happen? Oh, yeah. That's a treasure in heaven. That's something I'm going to do in the kingdom. If I make the kingdom, I'm going to do that. Okay? That's something I've laid up in heaven. Follow me? That's something I really want to do. I really want to fish the Snake River. Okay? Well, I'm laying that up in heaven. I'm waiting. I'm going to wait till the day it hasn't been fished for 100 years. And it's been restored to what it was like back in the 1400s when they first discovered this country. Then me and Oswald Chambers, we're going to go catch some fish over there. Okay? Because he's a fly fisherman too. See? That's a treasure you can lay up in heaven. That's very real to me. Okay? That's very real. I haven't given up my desire or my love for the trout fishing or the trout streams, but I'm doing absolutely nothing today, so to speak, to try to achieve that or get it now. What I'm doing today is I'm doing everything I can to get sin out of my life, because it's not going to be restored except for people to whom it has become, they have become worthy. Okay? So you lay up your treasure. There's things that we all have joys. Music. I can't play the piano. I took lessons for 2.5 years. I'm still too ADD. I can't do it. I haven't got enough time. I haven't got the hours to put into it. But I'm going to play the piano someday. Don't worry. Whatever Doc can play, I'll play. And I'll play it as good as him any day. Okay? But I've got to wait. That's another treasure I got in the kingdom. Okay? I just got to wait. Okay? That's a treasure. These are ways you can treasure. If you believe that God does that, if you believe that God knows that, if you believe that God has that, wants you, it's not wrong for me to want to play the piano. It's not wrong for me to want to have a clean environment. These are good things that God has. Okay? But I've laid them up in treasure because God will hold them for me. There'll be a day when Oswald and I will fish the snake. Hopefully you can be there to join us. And 7, Matthew 7, 15 through 23. He knows that he wants us, it's God's, what we have to understand, this is God's idea. It's not because we want it, it's because it's God's idea. He made us that way. He put it in, the reason why I want to achieve something is because God has made me with a desire to achieve something. The question is, are you just going to go out and make it happen, or are you going to do it in God? Are you going to allow God to do it in His time? One of the key issues on all of these things is time. Like Isaac, not you, but Abraham's Isaac. When God said, you're going to have a son, he was going to have a son. He just didn't tell him it would be 25 years later. Little minor detail. Okay? 7, 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing and inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Okay? What does he mean? He's talking about people who are going to come in here among us and tell us, do it. You got the Spirit. You got God. Go ahead and do it. Okay? But the real reason is for themselves, or their own appetites, their own self of achievement. If I accomplish something out of my own self of achievement, it will not stand the test of fire. It's fruit. Grapes are not gathered from bushes, nor figs from thistles. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. Do you see that? Every good tree bears good fruit. If we allow God to make us a good tree, and a good tree gets pruned a lot. I know a little about trees, and I'm an expert pruner, especially peach trees. You like peaches? Nectarine trees are almost the same as a peach. If you want a good production of peaches or nectarines, you slaughter that tree. 70% of it ends up on the ground every year. That's how you produce peaches. If you don't, most people have peach trees, don't get a lot of peaches, or they get little runt peaches. Because they, I don't want to cut too much off. Well, don't cut too much off and you won't get the results you're looking for. Okay? You got to be pruned. Okay? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. So then we're known by our fruits. God knows that we want to have fruitfulness and dominion. This is what God has declared about man. The question is, are we going to allow God to bring it to pass, or are we going to go out and do it on our own? It's the key to the question. And we've got to come before God and have Him test our works. See whether or not we're bearing good fruit or bad fruit. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You, Lord, that You care more about us than we imagine. Now, Lord, saying these words, I've had them said to myself, Lord. I've had them said many times, and I've said them many times. But until You make them real within our heart, until You settle the issue deep within our deepest being, Lord, it's merely words. Father, we pray that You would work in our hearts so that we know beyond the shadow of any doubt that we know we've been tested, we've been found faithful, You've been found faithful, it's been found to be true. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.